traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You want to get away with everything?
Just enough.
Full body burqa in a wheelchair. Full body burqa in a wheelchair, and then literally you could scream the N-word into a microphone and it's going to be okay. Do you want to get away with everything?
Yes.
Full body burqa in a wheelchair, wheel up in a burqa, and grab the mic and just let it rip.
Bro, I'm cold.
Well, warm yourself up. We got to do the world's number one podcast.
I'm trying. I just got done practice. And I'm in the ice bath, and if you stay in there a long time, the coldness seeps into your bone marrow, and now I'm shivering.
Do you think people can tell that we're out of our fucking minds?
I don't
right
know.
Now,
look at my hair. It's a fucking disaster. Hey, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world.
Oh. You're hot.
Thanks. If you're not subscribed, make sure to hit that subscribe button. We love you guys. This is a great podcast. Great show, huh?
Try it.
The UK press conference was confirmed. That's cool. Shout out Eddie Hearn, Match and Boxing. Sky Sports is where it's going to be available to watch in the UK. So shout out Sky Sports for making that happen. I'm excited, man. Even though last year we did almost die.
Via paint cans.
If you remember, full paint cans were thrown at us at the UK press conference. My dad got punched in the face. Did he deserve it?
That's up for debate. They told us last year that the only people that are allowed to carry guns in the UK are the Royal Guard. So,
getting the Royal Guard.
We're getting the fucking Royal Guard. We've got the guys with the big hats, the little thing that goes on in the swords and shit.
Yep.
They cannot be shaken.
You will get a bayonet to the heart if you fuck with us. If you throw a paint can at us, you'll get stabbed in the chest. That's going to be fun. Details to come on that. Speaking of boxing.
Whoo!
Besides my fight coming up on November 9th, we had a YouTube fight this weekend. Our friend Fousey fought. Fousey Tube? Well, he didn't fight. He kind of just got beat up. But he had a fight.
It was tough to watch.
It was tricky, man.
We made that Instagram story of us just looking utterly devastated, and he followed up with me after, and he said, I know I let you guys down. And I said, Fousey, you didn't let us down. You know, you tried your best. You gave it a shot. And unfortunately, that guy Slim, whoever the fuck he is, dude, just brought the pain.
He did, man. Yeah, it was... I felt bad. I mean, I kind of addressed this a little bit on Jake and Logan. I don't know if you guys watch that. If not, go subscribe to that channel for sure. But boxing is such a dangerous sport. And Fousey was fighting with his hands down for too long and taking too many headshots. I don't know if you've seen a picture of this guy. I actually want to pull it up.
He was just gassed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, can you look that up?
Yeah, I can. I can. It's Aaron Carter. Oh, God. This ain't good. None of this is good.
Dang.
Boxing's a dangerous sport. And if you're fighting with your hands down and you don't know how to fight with your hands down, your head is just a target. His nose looks like it's broken. His eyes swollen shut.
Do you think it was a technique thing, or do you think it was just because he was so gassed? You know what I'm saying?
It's a technique thing.
He couldn't even hold his hands up. Like, he probably trained with his hands up, but by round two, he was
in the first 30 seconds.
He was already hands down.
You heard me say, I go, Fousey's going to lose this fight. Yeah. You could tell. Boxing is so technical. I've said this before. I've learned this coming from an athletic background and trying to like substitute my athleticism for boxing technique, which is what I did last year. Like, looking back at the first fight with KSI and the videos we made pre-fight, I was wondering why I was so confident in my ability. And it was because I was an athlete.
Yeah.
But I quickly learned that doesn't fucking matter.
Doesn't equate
at all.
To
at
victory,
all. It,
yeah.
No way. There's no translation between being an athlete and being a boxer.
Like, so what's different this year?
I've had a year and a half to 2 years of boxing training where my athleticism can now be applied because the technique is there.
Are you even more confident this year like than you were last year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was confident last year just because I tend to be like naturally good at things. But this year, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be overconfident. But yeah, I'm extremely fucking confident. And last year at the UK press conference, if y'all remember, I walked in. I was kind of just like sad. It looked like I was going to cry the whole time. I just didn't want to be there. But this year, yo, I want this fucking smoke, dog. Like, yay!
We're in and out. We're showing up, National Guard off the fucking plane.
Look out!
Yeah. Rolling through with 100 fucking goons, bro, and just showing up.
We're going to be there for, I think, like 20 hours. That's it.
That's it.
And then back to the United States until the fight on November 9th. Get your tickets. Staples Center.
So what's next for FouseyTube? I talked to him at length. By the way, I'm going to bring him on my show, The Night Shift, in the next week once his face heals up to kind of talk about it. But I said to him, bro, just like, you know, he's been through how much trial and tribulation, so much shit, bro. And a lot of things that he's tried haven't worked out, but it's just a kind of like a indicator or an example of like success. Like it's never easy. You have to try a million things. You have to do a million things. I mean, he's taken some harder punches, no pun intended, than other people, but.
You're right. I'm still trying to warm up. I am so cold. If you've ever sat in an ice bath, it literally just seeps in your skin and normally I have the warm shower to warm me up, but the guest is here, so we just had to come straight to set. But to answer your question, yeah, Fousey's been through a lot, man. So one thing about the kid that we know he's a fighter. Like, literally, he's a champion, and he's not going to stop just because he took the L. So we'll see.
Speaking of taking L's, you avoided one with the Aaron Carter chain.
Oh,
it seems.
I actually want to talk about this with our guest, dude.
Oh,
I
yeah, feel let's like talk about it with opinion. The fucking guest then, dude.
Hey, let's bring him on. This guy's great. This guy's great. Our guest today is someone you'll be glad to be introduced to if this is your first time hearing of him. He is a comedian touring the country and torching everything in his path. He's been on Comedy Central and has his own podcast, The Tim Dillon Show. You guessed it. It's Tim Dillon.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Good to be here.
What's up, brother?
Everybody's training. I feel right at home.
Look out.
It's exciting. There's a training squad in the kitchen. Yeah, I was like, this is insane.
Now, what do you think about that? What do you think about a training squad? You wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, you're ready for a peaceful morning. The first thing you hear is, let's go, champ. People are punching each other.
I think that's good. I mean, that's what you need, right? I mean, he's going to fight somebody in an arena. You know, I've offered on the undercard to fight Chelsea Handler. if she will agree to that, you know, that I will begin to train for that. That's not a gimme. That's not,
absolutely.
You know,
that girl,
not a gimme at all.
She eats people.
Yeah, she bites. She does bite. I know that. But yeah, it seems like you're doing everything you can to win. So you're going to either murder or what, you know, whatever. It's in God's hands.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. My logic was, why would I not do everything I possibly can and allocate every single resource I can to win this fight? And that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So first, I want to address how we met. Theo Von's podcast.
Yes.
I came on. He had us as the guests.
Yes. We were the guests.
And man, you're fucking hilarious.
We had a good time. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun.
And then we saw that thing after the show.
Yeah.
That you
Well, there was a lot of people got angry. Not a lot of people, but there's like a contingent of people that were like, why would you go on a podcast with Logan Paul? I can't believe it. I'm morally offended or whatever it is. Yeah. And I'm like, and a lot of them just hate you because you're like a young rich kid. They don't care what you did in the forest. No one cares. None of my fans care.
You called it the suicide farm.
Yeah, well, whatever
which to me was.
I didn't know what it was. I'm not even up on it. I'm like, amazing. I didn't know what it was.
No.
I didn't know what he did. But none of my fans care about that. They just, you know, they're like, he's rich, you know, and we don't like him.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, so, Theo's people were getting mad, and it's like, grow up.
I get it. Here's why I get it, because like I did have a phase where I was just I was just obnoxious, dude.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like me, I've said this before, watching my 22-year-old self, I'm like, yo, I don't like that kid on the screen that I'm watching. Like I don't understand how that kid got famous.
Yeah.
So I get it. But it's interesting. I always find it interesting how people aren't able to separate internet persona from real life persona. Like you know, it's a character. It's a character. Yeah. And I'm sure when you're on stage and you're doing stand-up comedy, it's not 100%
you. It's an exaggerated version of what you are in real life.
He never used to give people much, though. Like, he had this vlog personality, and then there was nothing else to go by. Yeah. The podcast has humanized him a lot, because you can sit here and watch how he really is, like, with all the Good Morning Low Gang, what's popping.
Yeah. There's a boxing documentary here. That's so great.
There's like 40. Yeah. Can you
There's
show
nine
what's
cameras here
rolling at the same time? Wait, is this DAZN?
This is 40 Days from DAZN. Yeah, DAZN production.
I follow you every day until the fight.
Yes.
Wow. Awesome. Every
two,
day.
Two cameras, man.
This is the most intense thing I've ever experienced. It's pretty. When you walk into Rogan, it's just there's one producer and a dog. But when you walk in here, there's like 10 cameras.
That's how it usually is. Usually there's one producer and a dog or two. This, I thought this was your team. I was like, I knew this dude was big. Yeah, but I didn't know he was fucking. Yeah, this guy's six team. Cameras.
They follow me all. They make sure I'm still doing keto. And it's
you are doing keto.
I'm doing keto now, man. It's just protein and fat. And, you know, it's a very masculine diet.
Yeah, you think it's working?
I think it's certainly working. But is it sustainable?
I don't know.
Like, is it long term? Can you live without ever having, like, carbs? A carb?
Yeah.
You know? I look at orange juice like cocaine now. Like, when I see somebody drinking orange juice.
How about just a hit?
It's because of sugar, I think about that. I'm like, what if I just swirled it around in my mouth and spit it out? Could I do that?
A little gummer.
You know? How about that? It's just not, you know, you can't imagine this is your life.
Yeah.
But it's a good reset, you know? And then, you know, hopefully in 3 or 4 months, you can start, like, incorporating like a little brown rice, little, you know.
He's the cameraman is vegan.
I wanted this guy to be here, the vegan ultra marathoner.
He's doing vegan things right now.
I know. If there was a guy that I would love, it's a vegan who runs marathons.
Just
that's my idea of a fun guy.
He's the same thing.
I know, but he doesn't have a man bun. So when I look at him, I don't feel any hate.
But he gets his eyebrows threaded.
Okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. Little by little, we can get there.
Spencer is he's out destroying student debt.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's taking
on
the
burden. How's he doing? Is he giving people money?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that really what he's doing?
I don't know, bro. He's got a bus painted like a shark.
Okay, that doesn't seem like it's going to destroy any debt. That seems like it's a way to incur debt, to be honest.
I'm trying to tell him that.
Well, no, I think what it is because what happens is if you have debt, you write your debt on the side of it.
Okay, but I'm still confused. I'm still confused about the link between the shark van
he says,
and the debt.
He says he's going to bring it around to colleges in California. Students are going to write how much debt they have on the side in a Sharpie marker. And then he's going to bring the bus to Washington and show them
the
bus.
And then go into the White House?
He's gonna blow driving it into the Treasury. Is that what he said?
I don't know.
Actually, like, shit.
He's going to drive it into the Treasury. Well, that might do something. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was that committed. Well, God bless him.
Here's what I'll say.
I thought it was sort of a stunt, but here's what I'll say. Idea he was going to...
Us mere carnivores don't understand the thinkings of someone with such a wise and plant brain.
He's trying, you know? Yeah. It's important.
He's got it figured out. I assure you, everyone watching this, Spencer has it figured out. Yeah. We just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who Aaron Carter is?
Yes.
You a fan of his music?
I'm not as familiar. I'm ashamed, deeply ashamed to say I don't know that much of his
You're
stuff.
An uncultured swine.
I am a real classless pig. I don't know much of Aaron's stuff. I know there was one song when I was like a little kid.
I Want Candy. It's called.
It was something to do with a candy or a party. There was also a party. Candy. He was having a party and he wanted candy at the party. I don't know what it was.
Is that an original track? Wasn't I Want Candy a 70s or song? Yeah. Is it a remake?
I don't know what he was doing, but I'm kind of familiar with that. I don't know what he's done recently.
This podcast, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
He was on last Friday. And he gave me this chain.
Oh, nice. We have no gifts. Damn it. We have no gifts.
No, it's fine. I just wanted to tell you.
This is a diamond chain. So, it's not fine. I have nothing.
So he was wearing this, and I had an impulsive chain
right.
that was on set. He's like, I'll trade you. So I traded him this.
Yeah, and then, that's fake, right?
Well, I mean,
you have, well, that was a bad trade, Logan. You have lawyers to prevent you from doing things like this?
No, bro.
Isn't there a team?
I looked at Andre.
That would be me.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Aaron Carter goes, I got 50 carats around my neck right now. You want to trade? And I looked at Andre, and Andre's like, yeah. So, because he heard carrots, and he's right. A vegan.
Right. He got so excited.
Right.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Carrots?
So I did it, and then we found this. Someone tweeted us this picture. Here, zoom in here. Tim, you can see this, but.
Yes, $15.19. That's $15.19. Yeah.
But free shipping.
On eBay.
Well.
Free shipping.
Now you think that's literally what that is. That's a 15. You think that.
We thought so.
Yeah.
And then we went down to a high-end Beverly Hills jeweler called
Persian guy.
14 carats.
Gotcha.
I think he's a white dude. But We went down there and he checked it out and he came back and the first thing he said is the chain is cubic zirconium. And we were like, oh, fuck.
Chain's fake.
Aaron Carter hasn't been, and I say this with no malice, but he hasn't really been killing it recently musically, right? I mean, he's not. Am I wrong?
And so that made sense when we found out that it was CZ5912 or whatever.
It's no longer Aaron's party.
But the fact, and he wants candy, but I don't know if he can afford it anymore. Right. But the thing is this thing is actually real.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
real diamonds.
And what'll that run you?
Five to six K.
But your chain's still more.
15K. So we lost $10,000.
We lost 10 grand.
Yeah.
God. I'm trying to think what, now that I know that you barter like this, I'm trying to think what I can give you.
Then
you could just trade me. Like, I'm like, you trade me your home. I have a pair of New Balances, but they're all, you know,
what's your favorite possession? I'm curious.
My favorite possession?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. It used to be a waffle iron. Legit.
Really?
Used to be a waffle iron. Now with keto, it's not.
Okay.
Plain waffles? What kind of waffles?
Just waffles. Belgian waffles. Yeah, just a Belgian waffle
iron. But would you put shit in them?
Yeah. You would put stuff on top of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a pancake where you get in it. You don't fuck with it. You just put stuff on top of it.
You fuck with Eggos?
Eggos.
Eggo waffles?
Like Lego my Eggo?
No. I mean, when I was younger, some of my friends did, because I had some really white trash friends.
Eggos, by the way.
Well, sure.
He's from Ohio, so.
Yeah. No, I was just in Ohio. I was just in Cincinnati, and boy, that is,
Eggo town.
Well, there's no town where the food matches the people more than Cincinnati. Like, what they eat matches exactly who they are. Like,
Chili.
You look at them, and you see, like, a woman in pajama pants with a neck tattoo and three vapes on her person, and you go, what would she eat? And then you see, like, a bowl of spaghetti with chili on and cheddar cheese, you're like, yeah, that's exactly right. That fits.
She's like, you want to go down a skyline?
You know what? It's carnival food, but no carnival. Like, there's no rides.
Cincinnati is the carnival.
It's just carnival food, you know?
Oh,
and just the game is trying to get health insurance.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's very tough. But it was great shows. Everyone there needs to laugh because, you know, it's been deindustrialized.
Yeah.
Shout out Cincy.
Yeah, Cincinnati. Thanks a lot. And hope that didn't offend you.
So what? It was a waffle iron, but now what?
Now it's hard to say.
Surely you got one thing that when you're feeling like mega depressed, you'll like hold it and you'll be like, oh, this ain't that bad.
I don't know. You know, because I'm a comic, it's probably a microphone. Mm. I hate to say it, but getting on stage. And because like when you're depressed, you go on stage, you try to make that funny. So that's kind of probably what it would be. I mean, you know, I don't have a magical thing where I'm like, you know, I derive power from it.
Do you feel safe behind a microphone? Is that a safety zone for you? To an extent.
Yeah. Because, you know, I got good at being funny. So when you get good at being funny, you feel less vulnerable behind a mic, 100%.
How much of being funny is a genetic thing versus learned comedy?
Interesting question.
That's a good question.
Interesting question. I don't know. I think there's a lot of really talented people that don't work hard. And there's a lot of people that work hard that don't have that natural talent. So it's hard to say.
I feel like the delivery portion of it is natural. And like, and that's so important.
Well, the delivery portion of it is work too.
Okay.
But I mean, listen, man, you don't meet many comics where you're like, they have no natural talent.
Yeah.
Usually there's something there where you're like, that guy or that chick, there's something funny about them, or they just developed it. But then there are some people that you meet them and you're like, you respect them more because you're like, this is all work. Mm. Like nothing is, like they've worked themselves to being funny.
Do you know who Ian Bagg is?
I know him. I haven't met him, but I know him. He's like a Scottish British.
I think he's an American guy. Okay. So neither of what you said just now.
Maybe he's American.
Does he look Scottish?
Yeah, he does.
Well, there you go.
It's an arbitrary example, but I talked to him because his stand-up comedy was like, he would interact with the audience the whole time. He didn't have like a set per se.
I'd never
seen anything like it when I watched this guy do stand-up. And, he would just riff off the audience, and the callbacks were crazy, and everything was off the top of the dome. And
I do a lot of that, but you got it. It's hard to, you know, it's hard in Cincinnati when people are overdosing on heroin in the crowd. Yeah. You have to have a bit, you have to have jokes.
That's just an improv set, right?
It's crowd work. So what he's doing is crowd work, which is great. If you do none of that, I like to do a lot, like a good amount of it, because then you feel like it's a live show. You feel like you're there and it's, you know, it's crazy and you could, but you got to also, I think, have jokes.
Yeah.
You got to have something to say. Cause if I go see a comedian, I want to be like, I want to hear this guy say something.
Yeah. When you do the crowd work, you go, it feels like you guys go in there with some ammo. So if you see can't make any examples because, you know, PR team's here, but if you see a person that fulfills a certain stereotypical opportunity for you, I won't say what kind, obviously, but you have a joke planned for that. Attack.
You can. I mean, it depends. That's kind of, I don't know. I mean, you want to stay away from like what's hacky and what's been done, right?
Yeah.
So if it's like all like race stuff or all, I mean, it's that kind of gets hacky because people have heard it before.
You ever venture into that territory? The what is now deemed, if you say something.
Yeah, I mean, listen, sure. I mean, you venture into any territory you can to try to be funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The kid that I'm friends with, that guy Shane Gillis, unfortunately, who just... You know, he got, you let go from SNL.
You friends with him?
Yeah, we're friends. I mean, he's a good dude, you know? And I don't think that he was prepared for the level of animosity that was directed at him.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. He's doing good. But it's like, you know, I mean, when people pile on like that online, when they just, and that's my problem with it. I'm like, you could disagree with what he said, or you could think he shouldn't have the job, but to just be out and be like, this guy's a racist. He's homophobic. It's like, you don't know the guy. You don't know his intent. You don't know what he's about. And then you know how it is. People just dogpile, and it just gets to a point where you're like, you have to like get off the internet.
You agree with SNL's decision there to remove him?
No, because I think that SNL a few years ago was doing stuff that they themselves would consider offensive now.
Yeah, for sure.
They would do an Asian accent. They were doing stuff like that. I mean, Chelsea Handler has a new documentary about being white or whatever, but you know, and fine, it's cool, but she's also in the privilege of being white. But then a few years ago, Chelsea Handler's doing racial jokes and you make a fortune doing like racial jokes, and then you decide, oh, that everything I did was wrong. I'm sorry. Now I'm this person.
Yeah.
It feels fake. It feels fake to us.
Yeah. I like seeing this new like inception. I think Chappelle just did a great job of it, of just people running on a platform of please cancel me. I'm not changing anything. I'm not here for your feedback. I'm not here for your cancels.
When you're big, you can do that.
Right.
When you have the money and you're big, you can do that. But when you're younger, it's tough because you're trying to get on. Yeah.
We had this conversation last night, actually. Yeah. Do you want to talk about this at all?
Yeah, we just had an obligatory conversation randomly about what could be said and what can't be said.
Right.
You know, like there may have been something that was going to be that wasn't. But anyways.
I told him this. What you just said is so accurate. If you're a smaller creator and you rely on, if someone needs to turn the key for you.
Yeah.
And you're canceled, it could fuck you up. If you rely on brands to pay your bills, it could fuck you up.
Absolutely.
And I argued back. I said, these are the brands I rely on to pay my bills.
Right.
My bookie, condom brands, alcohol brands. And they're like, wow, he said something fucked up and now everybody's talking about it. Give him more money.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, also, my whole situation is if I get canceled, I'm going to do porn.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's a great idea.
I already have the fallback.
I'm already doing porn and I'm not canceled.
There you go.
So
you're
I'm
diversified.
Preparing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got premiums.
Yeah, but when you have the companies like you have, and I have them on my podcast too, that market primarily to degenerates, you
right,
know,
exactly.
And then, you know, let's be honest, and we're also selling CBD oil to people that don't want to hear their
baby. Me too.
They don't want to hear their baby scream. They're like, just rub CBD on it.
Give it to him. It's better than Xanax. I know he's sick. Yeah.
You don't need vaccinations. Hit him with some CBD.
So I walked that line. Unfortunately, I'm partnered with one of the most squeaky clean, controversy-free, you know, partners of all time. And so I have to really lean on the safe side.
Yeah. Well, I get it, man. As a comic, I think that people that listen to me want to hear stuff that they can't say at work.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean that it's hateful. It means that they want to hear somebody be funny and not care. And that's why you have things like Patreon and you have other things that kind of allow you to go directly to people, you know?
Hell yeah.
But I do think even the brands, dude, eventually the brands are going to be like, listen, what are we freaking out about? You know, like,
do you have a time period for that? Because I'm looking forward to that.
Can you speed it up a little bit? Somehow?
I don't know. I mean, I think, well, if Trump wins again, it's going to be either like people are either, it's going to either go crazier for 4 years or people are just going to go, listen, this is the new reality. And you're just going to start hearing people say slurs and like, you know, Special K commercials and cereal. You know what I mean? That could be the thing too. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but I think that's the direction it goes in.
You guys like football? That's great. My bookie is the place to bet on every football weekend. Better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. Imagine the things you could do with $100,000. Tell you what, you could buy two things that are $50,000. All you got to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. How's your experience been so far in my bookie?
Incredible. My bookie always
pays. Are you rich yet?
I'm not really that great.
We got to put more down. Picks,
but I'm going to bet more next time.
That a boy. My bookie's always the right play. You bet. You win. They pay. Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit. Use the promo code Logan. It's my name, LOGAN, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Logan when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet. Win. Get paid.
I think if Trump wins again, you might see corporations. They don't care anything. They don't care about anything but money.
Right.
So you might see them just be like, all right, you know what? We went woke. That, you know,
didn't work out well.
Let's
for
go
us.
The other way. Yeah, let's see what happens.
Like Apple is opening a plant in Texas now. They're going to start producing stuff. And I mean, by the way, probably was Trump that made that happen. Yeah. So I could see them, you know, in a year or two now starting to introduce, you know, slurs into their campaigns.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I think they're close.
I mean, I mean, listen, these companies, these entertainment companies, they don't care about all these people that are doing woke comedy now that are getting some heat and
fucking
succeeding.
Fucking losers, dude.
They're losers, but it's also like the people hiring you don't care. Mm. They don't care about they're hiring you because they think that's where the money is right now.
Yeah.
When they think that the money's not there anymore, you're gone.
Yeah, authentic gone. Comedy that hurts people's feelings. It's coming back, and I am fucking here for
we
it.
We hope
dude.
So. Yeah.
Part of the reason I ask you this as well is because on Theo's podcast, you were saying some shit that I won't even dream about.
Yeah. Well, so here's the deal. As a gay dude, I get a little.
So I didn't.
There it is.
I didn't know that.
I guess you didn't know this. You were getting very nervous.
They told me on.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what the
you
fuck?
Were having a panic attack. You thought it was all over. You thought it was like somebody set you up to get canceled again.
For sure.
You thought KSI was paying me. Yeah. You're like, who is? What is going? Yeah, who's this Nazi next to me? Who's this fat Nazi that was hired by the, you know? So I get a little more leeway, but not a ton of leeway. But I also, as a comic, I'm like, listen, man, all I'm ever trying to do is be funny. Shane was trying to be funny. He was saying shocking things to try to be funny. You're not always going to be funny. You're not always going to be fine. And I see you're disagreeing with this.
No. Yeah,
which is okay.
I was just going to ask you. Yeah. I was just thinking, because as a comic, to me, in a way, I sort of dictate you as someone who's got a thick skin.
Yes,
a
thick shell. I do.
Does anything ever hurt your feelings? Do you ever claim to be victim?
No. I mean, things in my personal life will hurt my feelings, but like, I don't care what people say. Part of it is I'm an addict. I'm like sober 8 years. So if I cared about what people said, I would probably be out drinking, using drugs, and dead. So I have to be like 100%. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying everyone should live like that, but the way I personally am, I don't care what people say, because I also look at people's actions. And sometimes, dude, the amount of people that call me and have private conversations with me, and these are like people that are in the business, that are high up in the business, that call me and go, oh man, this SNL thing's, that's screwed up. I feel bad for the kid. And then their public persona is either not saying anything or
the worst,
endorsing the other side of what they really feel. I know enough of that to go, oh, this is all kind of bullshit.
Breaks my heart, bro.
Yeah, it does. It
breaks my heart. I had an incident like that. I could say it.
Yeah,
I've said this publicly. Do you know who Aaron Paul is?
Aaron Paul, Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Yes.
So before,
I thought you were gonna say Aaron Carter again. It keeps being Aaron Carter the whole
life. A lot of AA.
So do you know Aaron Carter? I had this chain. Aaron Carter came on. It's the same story over and over. I'm like, God, he has been hit in the head.
Yeah, bro. I gotta stop getting hit in the head. Now, before the Japan thing, Aaron Paul, I had met him twice. Once was at, I think, the Streamy Awards, and the other was at Neon Carnival at Coachella. And the first time he came up to me, he's like, yo, I just want to say, love your stuff. Love what you do with your brother. Changing the landscape. Really appreciate you. I'm like, yo, that's all. You're like, you're Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul.
Like, nice to meet you. We got the same last name. And then Coachella, same deal. Just stoked to see me. Big fan. Shook my hand. Hug, whatever. Japan happens. Hate tweet immediately. One of the biggest ones.
Really?
Like,
oh, it's bad.
Like, go rot in hell, I think was the verbiage he used.
So crazy.
Go rotten. And I'm like, bro, I've met you like twice. We have like a bunch of mutual friends. Like,
yeah.
Like, reach out to me.
Now, do you DM him that, or are you just like, you're getting so much of it, you don't care?
That one specifically just hurt because I saw that his sentiment to me in real life. And then the 180, like, I wouldn't mind a flip. But the 180 from like, yo, love your stuff, to like literally go die. And by the way, when you're dead, rot in hell.
Yeah.
Just the verbiage.
The words he used prior to it too were so PC constructed.
Yeah.
Like, kids are watching your content and you have a responsibility. Like, it was like one of those like,
if it was anyone who hadn't expressed such approval of me in real life, it wouldn't have been a problem. It
wouldn't have mattered.
So I actually blew the tweet up on a poster board and taped it in front of my treadmill and used it as motivations for the better part of the last year. Just because like this, I mean, I'm sure.
But that's how you get ahead. Listen, that's how a lot of these guys have gotten careers in Hollywood, because they just don't care. I mean, Miley Cyrus's new video and whatever, she's got disabled people in the video. She has a woman who's like 700 pounds. Great. But where were they last year?
Well, they weren't cool yet.
They weren't cool.
Yeah.
Where were they last year?
They're cool now.
All of a sudden you're like, oh, I love disabled people and I love this 700 pound woman. And, you know, but where were Miley? They were here. There's been fat people for a long time. I know many of them.
Well, maybe.
And they would have loved to be. I would have loved to be in a Miley Cyrus video sitting in a tub like that woman, you know?
Inclusivity had to be on the upswing at some point in time. And maybe it just happens to be now.
But here's the deal. It's the way, and I understand that, but it's, you can't expect like people that do that in a very like transparent way.
This is not inclusivity based on high moral fiber. It's inclusivity based on marketing.
I want to stay at the top. It's like Chelsea Handler did that documentary because she's like, well, I did a lot of racist jokes. Let me get ahead of my own cancellation. Let me put a doc out to just make people, so that when people find her jokes where she's like, don't people from Alaska look like they have Down syndrome, and with a theater full of people being like, this is the genius, you know? When people find
she started donating in the Special Olympics.
But she also made a documentary about being white.
Okay.
People are like, oh, she's turning it around, you know?
Dude.
It's just fake, dude. There's a whole generation of people that don't care anymore.
We need to get you and Chelsea on the undercard.
It's fake. I mean, she'd win. I would fight her valiantly, but she would probably win.
Do you believe in the privilege hierarchy?
I mean, to an extent, yeah, it's easier to be white than black in this country. 100%. What about, I mean, it's much easier.
What's something I could strap on?
I mean, this, I don't even know how this is.
What's something I could add on to my my appearance or to my person to protect myself? Like I am a straight white Christian.
Yeah.
I'm fucked right now, dude. Like, what can I, what can I do to, like, protect myself?
You're not fucked.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say fucked. I mean, do you want to get away with doing some stuff?
I can't change my race, obviously. We found out earlier in the year that I can't change my
sexual preference. What do you want to be able to do? Because I'll tell you right now.
Sexual preference.
Here's what you want. You want to get away with everything?
Just enough.
Full body burqa in a wheelchair. Full body burqa in a wheelchair. And then literally you could scream the N-word into a microphone and it's going to be okay. Do you want to get away with everything?
Yes.
Full body burqa in a wheelchair. Wheel up in a burqa and grab the mic and just let it rip and you're
good.
Would
you break, if I told you I wanted to have a career in comedy, would you break my legs?
Who would
break my legs so that I can do that?
This poor guy just got out of an ice bath. All right,
we're going to move on.
He's just trying to normalize
his brain. Team's pissed.
How cold do you get after that? It's cold, your bones? Should I do that? Would it help for me to do it?
Do you work out?
I mean, I do to an extent.
What does that mean?
What does it mean? You tell me. You ask the question. set the parameters.
All right. Do you work out?
I'll jog occasionally.
Okay.
What am I going to do? Do I have to, like...
For 1 hour a day, at least 5 days a week.
I mean, that is insane. Who is doing that? Who is doing that? 1 hour a day, 5 days.
He's
out
doing
of the
4 hours a day.
I know, but he's getting paid millions of dollars to fight this guy in an arena.
That's
true. No, I listen, I'm starting to now because I'm at LA, New York. Health focused.
Fuck. I wanted to ask you this on Theo's podcast, but it didn't feel right.
Okay.
And it still doesn't feel right.
It doesn't matter.
But I'm at home. Yes. No, it's my podcast. I got some.
This is a great bedroom. People don't realize your bed is right there.
It's right there.
People have no idea. And there's a maid over there. Hi, how are you?
Fuck, this is it, bro. This is the part that gets clipped.
What is this, 9/11 Jews?
No, I just
make sure you make eye contact.
I support Israel. Like, where exactly does this go?
I can skate around it now because I know what'll get me canceled and what won't.
Yeah.
Do you remind me of Chris Farley?
Yeah, sure.
Are you ever fighting to try to not be known as the new Chris Farley? Does that bother you? Or?
Well, I think any big guy that's kind of funny is going to be compared to Farley. I mean, 100%. You're just going to get that comparison. You're going to get compared to like Kevin James or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I don't think my material's nothing like his and the podcast is nothing like his. Like he was brilliant. You look at the top 10 funniest people that have maybe ever existed.
Absolutely.
Was that guy.
Yeah.
So it's never an insult. I don't care. But it's like tonally, we're very different.
Comedically,
we're very different.
Your after-work life is very different.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you got to understand, he was as bad as it comes in terms of drug use and
alcoholism. It wasn't great. Right.
That wasn't the insult part.
Yeah.
The insult part was, do you ever feel like... Like do you use your weight as part of your shtick?
Here's the thing. I don't use it as much as part of my shtick, but does it make me more likable? Potentially. I don't know. That's hard to know.
Because on Theo's podcast, you were talking about losing weight. And I'm wondering how much weight can you lose before the average person is like, like Tim when he was a fat guy.
I don't know. It's a good, it's a good question. I mean, I think that there's very little chance of like me having a six pack. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to be a guy that walks on stage and looks like Dane Cook.
Yeah.
But I do think that I should get healthier. I think everybody should get healthier. I don't think that, I don't know. I think that some of the funniest stuff that I do is on the podcast, and that's just people listening.
Because that's
not even people watching, you know?
I look at, Jonah Hill. And
he yo-yoed. Yeah, we talked about that.
And I saw tweets like, I liked fat Jonah Hill better.
I know.
And I'm like... I don't know. I was just wondering.
I think you got to evolve. I think Jonah Hill is an actor. It's harder for him to evolve, right? Because Jonah Hill's just handed scripts.
Yeah.
But if you as a comedian can evolve and become something else, and you can write about stuff, and you could, I don't think it's as big of a deal for a comedian. But if you're an actor and you play one type of role, it might put you in more of a box.
You're like typecast.
Yeah, I decide what I say on stage. Like, I decide what I say and who and how I say it.
Yeah.
So it's easier for me, but I mean, who knows?
But I mean, one of the biggest parts of being funny is probably staying alive, right? Like,
you're dead. I mean, that's huge. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, I think a lot of that is in people's heads when they're like, if I lose weight, if I stop doing coke, if I spend time with my family, I won't be funny.
Well, my rebuttal to myself would be, I just watched, did you see Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis?
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But like, there are so many Zach Galifianakis, you're a fatty jokes.
Right.
And you look at Zach Galifianakis and you're like, yo, he's not even that fat anymore.
No, he lost
like,
a lot of weight. Yeah.
A lot of weight.
Yeah.
But he's still...
he's still funny.
He's still not only funny, but he's still not... Like, in the movie, everyone calls him Zach Galifianakis.
I talked with Rogan about this. And Rogan, because I was saying I was getting healthier and I asked him for a lot of advice. And I was like, I feel like it makes me more likable. And he's like, dude, he's like, you're just funny. He's like, it's in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, it's just in your head. And you just want an excuse to eat like shit and to treat yourself like shit. But he's like, it's in your head. You just got to plow through it. And wrote, like, you want to talk about mental discipline. Nobody has more than Joe.
Yeah,
so it's like, I think when I had to talk with him, but yeah, it's an absolute concern. You don't have to be worried about asking. Like, it's a thing that I think is in the mind of any comedian. By the way, that's comedians that are drunks. That's comedians that are big. It's not just being bigger. It's like, if your whole act is that you're a partier, do you stop partying ever?
Yeah.
If your whole act is that you fuck all these chicks and you settle down with somebody, are you still funny if you're not that bachelor guy, you know? So it's like hard to know.
What are your thoughts on that? Because I think about that from time to time, too. I run a platform of all kinds of dirty shit.
Yeah.
Porn and partying and all that shit. Yeah. And now I'm sober and
Christian.
Yeah. Like, am I going to be not funny if I settle down and get like a fence and shit?
No. I don't know how funny you are now. Like, what
not,
is
not the- very, not very. some would say not at all.
You'll be okay. I think, you know what I mean? I think you're going to be okay. No, I mean, listen, man, we all got to evolve, right? You're a different guy than you were 5 years ago. So part of you is probably like, if I stop doing things, are people going to like me? Is my audience going to like me? Dude, your audience changes, right?
Yeah.
People watching this are probably different than the people watching you 5 years ago, potentially. Yeah. So you just got to keep like going.
Yeah, facts.
You know?
Yeah.
The fuck was that?
I think it was yours.
No, I think you got an email. Shit. I'm assuming you're trying to achieve mainstream success.
Okay. I want to.
I don't know what that even means. Or if I'm asking, I'm not really sure.
I don't know what that means anymore.
Either.
I mean, just because, like, I don't think I'm not going to host a Tonight Show.
You got a goal?
Yeah, I want people to pay money. Like, we're selling tickets now. I want people to pay money and enjoy the hell out of what I do. Mm-hmm. I want people to listen to the podcast. I want them to come out to live shows. That's pretty much the goal, you know? It's what all of my friends and people that I respect do. But as far as like mainstream success, it's like, I look at mainstream shows, I don't even understand what's happening now. Jimmy Fallon's playing with the Muppets, or he's playing checkers with Cameron Diaz. I have no idea who's watching that.
What's the viewership on these shows? Does anyone
know? Mil. There's
two million.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
I feel like people just turn it on to
fall asleep.
Fill a void. Yeah.
I used to put this on my show. What void?
No, just like I said,
you don't have that void where you need to see Cameron Diaz play chess.
Not at all.
What's wrong with
that? No, I mean, and I turn on Jimmy, and it's like the stories that lead into Jimmy Fallon are so horrific because there's a lot of crazy shit going on in the country. And then Jimmy Fallon's show is so insane that it's like, another mass shooting today. Next on The Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon and Post Malone go to Red Lobster. I'm like, why is this happening? Why are we doing this? Why is that entertainment? Jimmy Fallon goes to the Olive Garden with Cardi B.
But SNL's not that far off either.
It sucks.
Yo, I'm sorry. SNL blows,
it
dude.
It sucks.
SNL is so bad.
Do you know how painful it is for me to watch SNL with him?
Yeah.
Because he's not versed per se on Chevy Chase, Farley,
on the good shit.
Spade. Right. Like, I've seen every single fucking episode of
I've seen like the highlights. And I knew the caliber that they were operating at. And then now I think they just had their season premiere. And I think Billie Eilish performed and Woody Harrelson hosted. Yeah. And I cannot believe it's still a thing.
You know what it is, man? I don't know how many people it's a thing for. I think it's just a thing for the people that are in media, the people like Blue Checks on Twitter that watch it. I don't think anybody really cares. There's not a single friend I've ever had that's like, I'm going to go home and watch SNL. It's become a show where the political satire on it has become weak. And it used to be funny. You know, when Will Ferrell was doing Bush, it was funny, dude. And now Alec Baldwin doing Trump and what they're doing with Trump, none of it's funny.
The only one that's funny.
It makes you feel bad for Trump. Yeah, I don't even like Trump, but it like makes you feel, you watch the show and you're like, I mean, Trump is funnier than SNL. Trump, you know?
One of our peers just got a show on NBC.
Yeah.
Her name is Lily Singh. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
You seen it?
I have. And let me say this. I believe that everyone who works on the show should be executed. and I don't say that.
Via what means, by the way?
I mean, is there like a way, dude, that I mean, it is that bad. It is so uncomfortable. You know what I mean? I mean, it is the worst show that I've ever seen.
I don't know why
seen.
When you said that, I thought guillotine. Is
me
that
too,
what, is
too,
that
really?
Don't spend
too.
That kind of money. Fucking don't spend man. A guillotine money. God, we've dang, already no. wasted a lot of money at NBC.
Bro, I watched it. So someone in our community.
It's bit. Am I wrong?
No.
It dude, was it's rough.
Painful.
It's rough. It was,
somebody from our community, this guy Keemstar, commented on it. And
who?
I. Keemstar.
I love the names.
Yeah,
I love
great.
All these
it's
names.
Great.
Fousey and Keemstar. It's like a video game. Does anybody have a name like Tom?
No. Well, even Logan's got two first names. But
right.
but he commented on it and he said that she clearly hates white people. That was what he said.
It just
and, I,
sucks.
And I didn't watch it before I can.
It's not even that. Like it's she
probably, you're diving in too far.
Yeah, you're yeah. right. You're
I,
right.
Listen, it's you're just right. so bad. I don't dude, I'd rather watch white people get killed than that show. Like it's not even dude, the problem is the comedy. It's not bad, dude. The audience is so uncomfortable. They're laughing like someone made a joke in the waiting room of a hospital yeah. while your grandmother's dying. They get yeah. that kind of laugh where they're like, oh, God.
It's like an uncomfortable laugh. And by the way,
is this done?
By the way, her laugh track is literally like 20 people. Like they didn't, it's almost yeah. like they didn't get enough people that would want to watch
it. I noticed that too. I noticed that too. Why? They didn't pack the audience.
No. I mean, because to your point, how many people want to go watch someone
it's
talk
shocking.
About cultural norms and societies? You
it's
know,
shocking
like,
they couldn't get more people. They probably shoot it in New York City, right?
Yeah.
How crazy is it that they could not have gotten more people? They could have shot it at Bubba Gump Shrimp and gotten a bigger
in
audience.
Times Square.
It is an uncomfortably small audience that doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Like they don't know what's happening.
And it's tricky for me because Lily's a friend and I like
yeah,
her.
And she's a friend of mine too. She's my best friend. So that is very difficult. No, I've never met her.
You're sending your best friend to the guillotine.
This
show's that bad.
I mean, dude, she's probably not a bad chick, but
no.
You can't just do stand up. It would be like if I just stepped in a boxing ring. It's like there was no training.
Yeah.
Where was the training?
Yeah.
And then you hire a bunch of writers. I know some of the writers on the show and I like them. They're not bad people. But
is it her delivery that's off or could she not deliver the,
you know what
the
it
jokes
is?
Weren't, didn't sound
the
great.
The only
either.
Problem is the writing and the delivery,
but that's everything.
Yes,
that's everything.
That
and
is
the,
it.
And to your point,
and the set is no good.
To your point that you said that it was, she wasn't trained, but
yeah.
at the same time, like it goes back to that marketing aspect you talked about earlier, which is they selected someone who is at the highest part of,
it's also,
of wokeness.
I'm smarter
they were like,
than you.
Yeah.
Dude, it's, I'm smarter than you comedy. I'm better than you. Who wants that? Who wants to turn on a TV and have somebody be like, I'm better than you? And I mean, it's like, it just sucks. I don't care about the racial angle at all. Make fun, dude, make fun of white people. You know what I mean? Just let's have Cat Williams do it. You know?
Yeah.
Or another woman who's funny, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's.
I feel bad for her. And I mean, they'll keep her on for 7 or 8 years.
You really think so?
No, I'm kidding. They'll get rid of that. But who knows where it'll go? I don't know.
One season.
Well, the left, the people on the left are mad at her now too because she did a joke about a burqa or a hijab.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Yes.
Oh no.
She's Indian. She's allowed to.
She's Indian,
wait.
So now people are turning on her. So now the show is for no one.
Oh my God.
The show's for literally no one.
Do you? Is there a point where all this stuff comes to such a head where, like, for me being early into all of this stuff and podcasting and making jokes and all that stuff, like, I already have that feeling of like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, imagine
yeah,
if every fucking
I have
joke
it every day.
Imagine every fucking joke you make or every time you go to open your mouth, you're like. You have to make 46,000 micro calculations of who you might possibly piss off. It is the saddest existence I've ever experienced or thought of in
right.
my entire being on this planet. Like it's just, it makes life unfun.
I know. Well,
it really does.
I mean, and then, but I think you just gotta just be fun. Like I think if you're funny or if you get good at being funny, like the funnier you are, the more you can go into certain things, you know? Everybody, people know you. Like, we go on the road and I'll do comedy in front of people and they know, I know where the line is. I know you can't go, or like nobody's doing slurs on stage.
Unless you are a black or a person.
Yeah, but it's also like audiences are not into that anymore.
Right.
So like the idea of like people, like you talk to people that are the woke people and they're like, well, these comedians are going out there being hateful. I'm like, no, the only things that people are doing on stage are either so absurd or ridiculous, or people get that they're ironic. People understand it. It's not these comedy shows, man, they're comedy shows. They're not hate rallies. People just want to laugh, and they want to laugh at ridiculous stuff.
You said that the funnier you are, the more you might be able to get away with.
Of course. That's why Dave Chappelle does it very well, because he's a master of what he does.
But then it's almost just another micro calculation. Am I funny enough to make this joke?
Well, yeah.
I think I am, but am I? But what if this person gets offended?
You know what? That's why the internet exists. You can do your own thing. Look at Alex Jones, maybe the funniest comedian ever, you know? He is. Maybe one of the funniest people. He's funnier. How about this? Lily Singh by Jones.
Ooh, that every show night. Would go insane.
Every night. I drive 150 miles an hour to get home to turn the TV on. Killing Families, Don't Care. I need to see Alex every single night that he's on. Doesn't mean I agree with him. Doesn't mean I'm going to turn the TV off and be like, well, he made a good point.
Problem is, he won't do it. Because he's making so much fucking money off his own private gig.
Well,
so why would he have He would
absolutely do it. First of all, let me tell you right now, he'd be on a plane tomorrow. No, he would never be allowed to do it. But it's like, let mainstream stuff die, because it will. And the stuff that you guys are doing and the stuff that other people are doing becomes a new mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just it, you know? And I wish Lily luck. Like, I don't hate. I have nothing negative about her.
Yeah, she's your best friend.
She's my greatest friend. but she was my math tutor growing up. The point is that she. I mean, the show is rough. It's a rough show.
Yeah,
it's rough to watch.
I mean, listen, dude. A lot of people make mistakes. Sebastian Maniscalco is one of the best comedians that's ever lived. Right? Amazing. But you know, it's like the MTV Music. This is like not his crowd, right? So he goes into the MTV Music Awards. It's not. His crowd, it's like, you know, 15.
Oh, it didn't work?
It didn't really go over, because it's just like, you know, these are 16-year-old kids. You know. Yeah, little Zan is not the audience for Sebastian Maniscalco. That's just not the...
Wait, but I love Sebastian.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just above the cusp of what is his audience? Or
I think that in a music award show where people are there because they're fans of music and they are not necessarily fans of comedy at all, they just don't know. You know, Sebastian is an amazing comic, but it's well out of his comfort zone, right? Mm. That's why he did it. And that, you know, but if you look at it, you're kind of like, oh yeah, this just underscores how fractious everything is now.
Oh,
like
yeah.
There, because he sells at Madison Square Garden four nights in a row.
Yeah.
He's
one of the most successful comics.
He's the best. You watch him, he's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's just like, dude, no matter how good you are now, you're not going to be for everybody.
Is that his fault for taking the job? Or
I don't think it's anyone's fault. I just think it's like, you're never going to be for everybody.
Mm.
You know, I mean,
what should he have done?
Right. Well, I mean, he should have went at them, you know, he should have just started roasting them and insulting them and saying, you know, be like, Lizzo's in the back putting on her diabetic boots.
No.
You know, she's going to explode, you know, things like that. What is Migos? Who are they? I don't even know what it is. Is it a restaurant?
I met him once.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude. The one thing stuck out to me more than anything, though, I noticed how big his head was.
I didn't know that.
Giant head.
Interesting.
I mean, whoo. He just got a big old head. And I think that's part of the reason why he's so successful. His facial expressions are so big.
Well, he's very animated.
Animated as fuck. And I heard in Hollywood, the bigger... eyes, mouth, nose, ears, anything. The bigger you can be and the more character like your nose
is.
You're gonna be good.
He looks kind of like a caricature of himself.
He's a very animated guy. Yeah. But it's also like he's talking about family. And there's like, you know, kids in the audience that are just on Molly. They're like, what's a family?
Yeah.
I have no idea what a family is. They're like, what is a family? Like, well, I've never had one. I've never met one. Nobody I like has one. What is it? You know? You mean like a rat family of 40 people?
Is that Amigos? Is that what that is?
Yeah. I mean, so no matter how good you are, dude, it's just, it won't be for everybody.
Speaking of kids, you did a podcast, How to Be Popular.
Yeah. That was a big one. People like that.
Can you do an updated version for adulthood, specifically in Hollywood?
Oh, I mean, sacrifice children. You know, I mean, lie, cheat, steal, divorce yourself from any sense of truth or honor. It'll work.
Right now, is that still the method? Right, that was.
I mean, listen.
I thought it was right now. It's like go vegan.
I mean, sure, you could do. Oh, here's how to really get big in Hollywood. Don't have any innate sense of what is and isn't right or good. Mm. And if you don't have an innate sense of what is right and what is good, you could kind of do whatever. You can take the temperature of whatever people want you to do.
And make yourself that.
Yeah. Some of the most successful people I know, they're like liquid. They take the shape of their container. So whatever, like if it's woke time, it's woke time. 3 years ago, these people were, you know, calling everybody this word and that word. But now they're woke. And then in 3 years, if woke stuff relaxes, they're going to be like, well, we're good. We're not marching anymore because that's not the deal. So I think that's a big way to succeed here.
It's a city of shapeshifters.
Yeah, it's a city of people because it's all about being cool, right? It's all about being relevant. And what's relevant right now is being, I mean, you even see the kids from Stranger Things like tweeting like social justice, you know, and it's like they just feel the pressure because they're looking at other people in their orbit and they're like, yeah, okay. And it's like the Greta Thunberg girl. There's people that are like, she's so great, but they're also on private jets. Mm. Like these are people that take private jets and they're like, this girl's great. And listen, she made some valid points, but she was a little creepy. It was a creepy speech. I don't know if you saw it.
I've watched it five to ten times.
It was too much, you know, so the normal reaction to that from a human being that just turned on their TV was like, what? Like, yeah, okay. But is she okay? Like that was a normal reaction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like what's going on? She's like, my childhood. You're like, this is very odd, you know? I wanted her to go the full thing and just start throwing out conspiracies. You know, you killed Jeffrey Epstein in the cell. And then you come to us and ask us. It's like, wait a minute. Okay, now it's getting good.
Some are saying she's like a plant of some
sort. I
don't
know, man. I don't, listen, here's the deal.
Others are saying that she's actually Gollum from The Lord of the Rings.
I did a video on Instagram and I put it out on Twitter.
Well, I have to cut that.
I just did I pretended to be an agent for like these kids. And it wasn't making fun of these kids. It was just making fun of agents.
Yeah.
Like the idea that you'd be an agent for a child activist, you know, and you just represented all these people. It's like, can you get David Hogg on the phone? We sent 30 pairs of sneakers to his dorm, you know? I need this guy, you know? Because this is agent who was like, Malala went with a competitor. You haven't heard her name in 2 years. And then it was like, Malala, you got to come out as non-binary if you want heat now. No one cares about landmines, honey. Nobody gives a shit about clean water. It's about guns and climate, you know? So there are people behind these. Doesn't mean the kids are wrong. There's people behind them. There's a machine. It's the way it is.
Do they build them or do they see opportunities and then promote them?
I don't think anybody needs to get built. I think people show up. It's like, listen, people get cast. Think about it like a movie, right? People get cast in a role, but they how many people show up wanting the role? Yeah. A lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to go get somebody and kidnap them and go, hey, be this thing.
Well, because there's conspiracies that some of these, you know, anti-gun kids are actually lab grown.
Well, here's the thing. Some of them, they'll try them out and then like, it'll come out that they were like, wait a minute, you said the N-word on Xbox Live and it's like, you're out.
Yeah.
And then they find a kid who's more pristine. And, you know, I mean,
like Kyle Kashuv
is out. They tried, you know, the NRA.
Canceled.
They tried. But Kyle was apparently, you know, getting a little wild on Xbox Live, just letting it fly. Kyle was letting it fly. And, you know, he was a little comfortable.
You know who loves Kyle Kashuv?
I don't know.
Alex Jones. And oh, also yeah. Ben Shapiro.
What a fun dinner, huh? Alex, Ben, and Kyle Kashuv. A fun kosher barbecue dinner.
But Ben and Alex don't like each other. So it's a mix. You got to be careful how you mix those kind of people up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's wild, man. I mean, I love the people that you've been having on because I think it's so cool that you guys have all of these different people on. Like when I saw Ben Shapiro on here, I was like, this is, and you did a better interview of Alex Jones, I'll tell you this, than 99% of people that have interviewed him.
Oh, shit.
Because you get the internet and people don't. And people don't understand, like, what he's doing. I think a lot of what he says has validity to it. And some of it is like, you know, come on, it's performative, but you kind of got him because you were just like, come on, man, it's a thing, right?
I tried to
doing a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to humanize him a little bit. That was the goal, to try to understand like why he is the way he is rather than necessarily his like logic or his political thinking.
Everybody's heard his script.
I want to ask you an opinion actually, because we caught some flack for that episode, obviously, for giving Alex Jones a platform.
Of course.
Our podcast got like, what, 600,000 views or so.
Of course.
But Rogan does the same shit.
Yeah.
12 million views.
He gets flack. He gets serious flack. Mm. He gets serious flack.
I wonder if he catches heat from the higher ups, the powers that be. I think that's the kind of flack we're getting.
Listen, man, he'll catch flack for it. But, you know, he's had a lot of people on his show that are controversial. But he does these long form, amazing interviews. Mm. And listen, man, you watch the he's doing something that the media has failed to do.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You watch the you know, he had Bernie Sanders on. How many people watched that and were now more like, oh, Bernie Sanders is an interesting guy who has a lot of beliefs that make sense to me. And the only other time you saw him is like these 2 minute sound bites on a debate or on the news. So Rogan's doing a thing. The reason that Rogan catches a lot of flack is like he's doing like so much better and he's so much more relevant than this old media that's like dying.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just, you know, Alex Jones, the Sandy Hook thing, people have valid gripes and they're angry. It's just at what point is there any level of redemption?
Yeah.
That's, you know.
I definitely envy Joe Rogan and maybe it's like a age and experience thing and wisdom thing, but I admire his ability to stay in his lane and just go full throttle. And
well, he's also known Alex for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, he's known him for a long time. He's been with him. He was with him when he was the enemy of the right wing and they all hated him because he knew him when he was, you know, George W. Bush was in power and Alex was, you know, out there talking about the Iraq War, 9/11, all that stuff. Yeah. So to see the pendulum swing, dude, and I've only seen it and I'm only 34, but like the idea of seeing like left-wing people being like, we now they like love the CIA because the CIA doesn't like Trump. But when I was growing up during the Iraq War, they're like the CIA and the FBI, and they're all liars and they're all that. And now they, so it's like, nobody has any values. Everybody's just blowing in the wind.
Gotcha.
Because that, once again, like, what point do you just open up an orange stand on the side of the one and just...
Well, there's a lot of people doing that already. That's happening. I mean, you'd have to ask them, but you'd have to pull over and ask a guy with an orange stand, and he'd be like, "Hey," and you'd be like, "At what point during the political
geopolitical climate?
What point did you decide the media landscape was too punishing and that you wanted to sell fruit on the side of the road?
Okay,
what was it?" And he might be like, "Chelsea Handler documentary. That was it.
Juicy Smollett.
I just can't." Doja Cat, too much for me.
I got a segment here. We do segments on this show.
Yeah.
What's this segment?
I wanted to get your thoughts on some things because I like your thoughts.
Thank you.
It's called Tim Dillon. Thoughts on?
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. That's great.
So I'm just going to show you some stuff and yeah, it'd be cool to hear what you think. Instagram and Instagram models, the butt models, Insta-hoes, they're called.
I mean, they're making a living. They're trying. I live right by that pink wall, right?
Oh, so, no!
Oh my God. I live right over there.
On Melrose?
Right on Melrose.
They charge an admission there?
I don't know, but there's a security guard there, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Because there's no security guards outside nursing homes.
You ever think you'd see a date?
Like, they're just the elderly. Do what you need to. Go in there, rob them, hook up, whatever you want. But these are our influencers. They'll be treated with respect.
You think you'd ever see a day when a wall would get more action than a fucking amusement park?
I mean, dude, it's crazy. But we did a video in front of it that was kind of funny. We just talked to some of these girls. I mean, they're all pretending they're not really there. Like all these Instagram models pretend they have the self-awareness, but they're like, this is a satire on late stage capitalism, but here's my tits just in case. Like they're all... Like they're trying to divorce themselves from what's happening, you know? They're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm really here, but here I am. Nobody owns it. Nobody's just like, I'm a whore, you know? Everybody's like, it's a, you know, we're just satirizing the type of person who would be here, you know, with their ass out.
Yes, yes.
But I'm here with my ass out. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, a lot of them that I've talked to, it's weird.
Well, and their audience is all horny men who are too stupid to read between the lines when the tits come out.
Yeah.
Too. So they're like, wow, maybe she really does care about geopolitical, you know, affairs.
It's a real, smart audience that expects a lot, you know?
YouTube and YouTubers.
I mean, they're so diverse now, right? Because you have you guys and then you have people, you have like the people that eat cereal. You have the mukbang people. You have the people that open presents. I mean, I think there is a problem. Like, it is a problem. Like, I look at what's on YouTube and I'm like, this is not good. Like, I see somebody opening a present and there's 30 million people that are like, I wish I had a present. I'm like, how bad is it out there? I watched a new documentary on influencers. It was on Hulu. It was called Jawline. And all these girls, you know, the MagCon guys, like all the girls that were going to see them. I thought these girls just thought they were hot. But a lot of these girls, it was so sad. They're like, my mother works 3 jobs. I don't have a father. These are the only people that tell me not to kill myself. And I'm like, oh my, I was like so sad. I'm like, I had no idea how bad it was. out there. I thought you just wanted to, you thought they were cute.
No, Taylor Kniffer is these girls' role model.
I thought they thought he was cute. They're like, they're the only people that say, don't cut yourself, go to school. I'm like, what is going on? So I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of trouble. We're in trouble as a country. Some trouble.
Is it just the country or is it the world?
No, it's everything. It's the whole planet, you know? But I mean, I get a view of this country. But yeah, the YouTube thing, there's like girls that are 800 pounds. Me and Ben the other day, my producer just watched a very large woman eat a whole chicken.
Bones and all?
I don't know what she did with the bones. Great question.
How many views?
Hundreds of thousands. She's just a very large woman eating a whole chicken. I just try to understand like,
what's going on? What's wrong with us?
Something's wrong, dude.
Are we fucked?
I don't know, but it ain't great. I mean, if you go on YouTube, it's not great. But do you know any influencers that are like lower level guys that are trying to get on and it's very sad?
It's so sad.
It's like sad.
It's all so sad. Yeah. Well, because they're not doing it for love of creating. You have the barrier to entry right now is.
And that was what the MadCon guys were doing, the love of creating?
No. can you tell?
Yeah, that was Cameron Dallas, the love of creating. Jumping on a bed.
Nah, bro, getting likes and being famous and making
Yeah,
some
that's
money
awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it just gets old and then you're fucked and now you're.
Yeah. But like Cameron became a model. Like some people become another thing, right? Some people are smart enough to like parlay into something else. Yeah.
All right. Nightclubs. There's Mike, by the way.
Oh my God. This was last night, by the way.
When I was younger, I was selling mortgages and we used to go into New York City and go to like these nightclubs. And my boss was like a 24-year-old guy who used to sell cocaine, but then was selling subprime mortgages. You have the aesthetic of everyone in my office.
I'm from there.
You have the aesthetic of every friend I had before I was 28. And we would go to these clubs like Guest House and Home in New York City. Yeah, I mean, this was like 2000 and what, like 2006 or whatever. And it was fun, dude. It was fun to just get fucked up at a nightclub. But it's like now because I'm a comedian and I just go to the mall, like the last place I'd ever want to be is like a night. It's not thing. Yeah. I mean, I would go, but it's not an arena where I'm like, you know, like I'm never like, I just like silence and quiet. Mm-hmm. Like when I get out of a comedy club, I'm like, let me just take a walk down a quiet street. Like,
yeah, you'd think the same thing about Guy Fieri. It's not the case.
Yeah. No, he loves nightclubs. Well, he's cool. Yeah. You know, I'm not as cool as him.
You guys are the same age.
There's two types of overweight guys in LA. There's guys that maybe do comedy and then there's guys that manage rappers.
We know some of those.
You know, they're like, they're chubby guys that wear like Adidas suits and they manage rappers and they love nightclubs and they love brunch.
You know what I think?
They also love brunch.
That's big here in general. Huge. Yeah.
You know what I think of when he says that? Murda Murph. The tracksuit.
Yeah, yeah.
Murda Murph's great. Shout out Murda Murph. And yeah.
I don't know Murph, but I'm sure I also enjoy you.
He got shot through both femurs.
Well, that is unfortunate, Murph. And you got to have better friends, maybe. I don't know, but you know, you got to look at your socials. Settings. When you call yourself Murder Murph, I guess this is the life you live, right? I don't call myself Murder Tim because I don't, you know.
Yeah. You don't want to manifest the shit.
Yeah.
Cat Williams versus Kevin Hart.
I mean, personally, I'm a Cat Williams guy, but they're both the greatest comedians. I mean, they're both amazing. I just love Cat Williams.
Hey, what happened to him?
Cat?
Yeah.
I don't know him. So I don't know. I mean, I think he's still one of the funniest people on earth.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's had some things, you know? I don't know if it's drugs. I don't know if it's whatever it is. I don't like to say what it is because I don't know. But I knew a guy that used to open for him and every now and then, it was hilarious. He was just like a white guy and Cat just like every now and then he just wouldn't show up to the show or he couldn't get there for whatever reason. And that guy, my friend would just kind of have to walk back out and be like, it'd be like 12,000 people in an arena. God. And my friend's like, Cat's
not coming.
Cat's not coming. But,
oh, shit.
And then he'd have to keep doing jokes. He'd be like, so my bitch is like, and they were like, wait a minute.
Oh, damn.
So, but yeah, Cat Williams to me is like, I don't know if there's anyone that makes me laugh more than him.
He is funny.
Think he might be the one that makes me laugh the most.
Louis C.K.
One of the funniest comedians ever. He's back. He's being funny. He should be allowed to be funny. Enough. Leave him.
He's back?
He's back doing shows. I mean, he's one of the greatest comedians that's ever lived. Mm. I don't know. I'm not saying that everything he did was appropriate. In fact, a lot of it wasn't. I'm sure he would say a lot of it wasn't. But like at the end of the day, you know, this goes back to that redemption thing. It's like, this is a guy that, you know, is incredibly talented. And, you know, what exactly is, you know, his detractors and the people that don't think he should work. I mean, is that, you know, is the idea that, you know, there are people that have murdered people that get out and get jobs. So the idea that he should not have a livelihood or he shouldn't have any career, he shouldn't be able to perform ever. I don't, you know.
Yo, I think about this often too. There are rappers. I'll use YNW Melly as an example, who allegedly shot and killed his two best friends in the car and then drove to the hospital and tried to stage it as a drive-by. And he gets put in jail and there's hashtag free Melly tweets.
Right.
And by the way, he's charting like top 50
rappers
right now.
Can really do anything, I mean, rappers can do anything. And their fans are like, it's okay.
Bro, murder?
They'll be like, you'll be like, murder? He shot his daughter in the face. You'd be like, yeah, but his new shit is fire. You know?
That's why. Like, that's okay, why I think 6ix9ine, if he gets out, will still pop.
Yeah, it used to be killing was okay, but snitching was a no-go.
Yeah.
But now
snitching, I mean the 6ix9ine thing, I mean, you can't do that.
Well, no, according to him, he thinks he's going to get out and just re-pump that whole career again.
You don't think there's a comeback for 6ix9ine?
I mean, I hope. I mean, there's no street cred left there, right?
I don't think you need street cred. Yeah, I don't think it matters, dude. You have
You just got to be woke. And another thing was, too, people are like, oh, he's going to get out and go into witness protection. I saw someone on Twitter say, witness protection, what's he going to do? Change the 6ix9ine to a 6'8"?
Yeah.
Like, how do you change your face tattoo?
He has a very distinct look.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's a very definitive look.
Shawn Mendes and Camila.
We got a note from the producer. Shawn Mendes and Camila.
Yeah, I mean, I think about these guys so much.
Both people.
And I mean, it's so important to know what they're up to. And
wait, don't show them. Do you know who either of these people are?
I know exactly who they are. I'm not like out of it, you know? Shawn Mendes is the guy that a lot of gay people wish was gay, right? They're always like, we wish this dude was gay. And then Camila is Camila Cabello, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
And she's got that song about Havana. I'm in Havana. Yep. I love Castro. Da, da, da. And he's fun. What are my thoughts? They're hot, they're young, they're fucking, they're rich.
I don't know. I actually
Are they implicated in something I should know about?
Supposedly.
Well, I guess he was very funny.
Oh, you have thoughts.
It was quick.
They made a weird video recently, like making out. Maybe you were talking about that.
I might have been doing the thing that people, I don't know. I was maybe imitating him as Sebastian or something. I was saying that he was gay, I think. Sebastian Maniscalco just flipped out at the VMAs, just started yelling at him. But I mean, there's a lot of closeted dudes in Hollywood, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know? I'm sure that relationship is genuine, and God, and I wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, big you fan. Know. Hey, same. By the way,
you know him, right? You know him.
I know. No.
Well, you don't know him.
Never met Sean.
Okay.
No.
Are any of the MadCon dudes gay dudes?
I would assume.
Okay. Or bisexual? Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot. There's some high profile names in this city.
Yeah,
I've been hearing about recently that I would never mention.
Mac brought like one of them up to me the other day, and I was like, "Yo, you didn't know?" Like, and here is common knowledge.
And I mean, like the biggest names. It's.
You think it's a problem being closeted?
No, I don't care what people do. Okay. I think to me as a comedian, the type of comedy I do, I want. I'm like, listen, I don't want somebody lying to me that does my type of comedy.
Mm.
But if you're an actor, I really don't care what you do. I don't care who you are when you leave. That's why I don't care what your politics are. When you're done with being an actor, I don't care who you are. I don't want to see Jimmy Fallon interview you. I don't need to see you make small talk. I don't need to know who you're sleeping with. I don't need to know what your political views are. I don't care what you had for lunch.
But do you think by not... By withholding that information, you're furthering the progression of the LGBTQ movement.
Yeah, potentially, but that's on them. That's your own personal thing. Like, I wouldn't be okay lying to fans.
Okay.
I wouldn't be okay lying to people but if you're okay with that, then that's cool. I'm sure people are lying about a lot other more stuff
Hell
than
yeah.
that.
Yeah, facts.
You
yeah.
know?
All right, let's do audio only. It's like this, but it's it's audio only.
It's okay.
Interesting. I don't know what that is.
Neither do we, to be honest.
It's another bit.
Well, it's exclusive on Spotify and iTunes
for the avid
listeners.
Good.
But yo, Tim Dillon, thank you for coming
on,
bro.
Thank you, dude. Yeah, I had a lot of fun, man. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Tim Dillon, everybody, where can they find you on social?
Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram, and Tim J. Dillon, T-I-M-J-D-I-L-L-O-N on Twitter. Same handle on Instagram and Twitter, and get me there.
Big. Facts. Hit that subscribe button, guys. Right now, exclusive audio only interview with Tim Dillon on Spotify and iTunes. Thank you for listening to Impulsive, the #1 podcast in the world. Peace. We're still here, man.
Here comes a question.
IMDb says upcoming project, untitled Tim Dillon project. Is that one of those IMDb errors, or do you have an untitled project?
Yeah, I do, but I mean, it's like, I mean, I think that's probably everyone in this town has an untitled project.
You ever do acting?
I did a few things. I mean, I've been on some shows and like Comedy Central, things like that. I don't do a ton of acting.
Like, you strike me as a comedy actor, like even like an SNL sketch type of humor.
Well, we know that's not. I appreciate that. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm not against it. I go out for auditions and stuff, you know?
What about Mad TV? Remember Mad TV?
It was great.
Is that
loved
still?
It.
That's not
Artie
still
Lang,
around, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Brian Callen, who's a friend of mine, who's a great comedian, was on Mad TV. Yeah, I loved Mad TV, man.
You would be Mad TV.
I think so. I mean, I'm into that. I'm into actually making another sketch show, because I do these sketches like on my Instagram. They're really funny. I put out little funny videos on Twitter. Some of them blow up, and they're just funny videos. Like, but it's hard to see them on network TV, yeah, right? It's hard to see me imitating Meghan McCain and, you know, saying some crazy shit going on network TV. But I think you'd have to find people. And there's actually comedians talking about it now. Like, what would it take to put together a YouTube exclusive 30-minute sketch show?
Yeah.
Like a weekly sketch show. It's kind of an interesting idea. Ooh. And people have kind of brought that up. I don't know how serious people are, because the thing with comedians is we're all doing our own things.
Yeah.
I'm leaving this. I'm getting on a plane with like Bert Kreischer and doing a tour with him for a week. And then I'm back here. And then I'm doing my own show. It's like, so we're all in our own world. But like, if you were to put a bunch of us together, I think we could make a really cool
thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
100%.
Hannah Stocking and Shots. Hannah's putting out a new show. She put a teaser out yesterday that she claims is going to be sketch based. With that whole squad,
but she's not a comedian.
Facts,
you know.
I mean, some of them would like to imagine they're quite funny, though.
Well, I would like to imagine I have wings. I've literally been trying to fly since I was five.
I love that.
Like, I would.
I mean, I think that the definition of comedian now is broad. It's like, it's. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be.
I mean,
well, there's a lot of people that are like, hey, I'm funny. Let me give it a shot. You don't have to be a stand up. You can be a whatever. And
podcast.
Yeah, you can do a podcast, and there's some very funny people in there. Who knows? But there's also a lot of unfunny people that say the right things and make money.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
He asked you about acting.
Yeah.
What about acid?
I did acid. I mean, one of the first times I did acid was on. I was in eighth grade, and my friend and me dropped tabs of acid on the eighth grade graduation
stage. You started early.
Yeah, eighth dude, I was doing blow young. I was wild. I was wild from like 13 to 25.
Oh, that was
wild.
Your range? Mine was 18 to 26.
Yeah, it was my range.
I got clean in 26.
We did like a tab of acid each, and we're like, all right, well, this is ending in 5 minutes, because what could an eighth grade valedictorian have to say? Well, this bitch got up and was like,
Liza Koshy,
you know,
ass.
When my family came to America, I'm like, you're German. What are you saying? What is
you're
this?
From Queens. What are you talking about?
And, shy.
And it was wild. And it was wild. But then, you know, it was fun. I used to love doing that. Shrooms, acid.
Acid, really?
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you set intentions before? Because nowadays, the big thing is you got to set intentions.
Oh, the ayahuasca and all that
shit. Wait, where are you from?
Long Island.
Long Island. So I'm from Connecticut.
Yeah, so there was no intention setting.
No intentions. The intention was to see some weird fucking shit.
Yeah, to get fucked up. Yeah. That was the intention.
But now it's like you got to sit in a circle, you got to light a couple candles, and you set your intentions. So today I'm going to find out my long-term strategy for global health.
Well, this is a lot of like, you know, I think professionals from like a Burbank, and then they're going to see a shaman. They're like, we're going to go see a shaman and do ayahuasca in Kim's backyard, and then really focus on, you know, it's like, yeah, you're full of shit.
Does anyone come away from a psychedelic trip with a life-changing revelation?
I know people that have.
But let's be honest, it's never the one you set intentions for. If you're like, I am going to solve world hunger today, you come out of it and you're like, that's how vacuums got made in the first. Like, right, it's right, never the one right. You fucking thought it was going to be.
I mean, I also like wasted a lot of psychedelics because I was a dumb teenager, and I was just not, you know, I remember going to some bar in a town that was like next to a really rich town. And I remember being like high on acid, look at one of my friends and be like, these people don't have any fucking money. Like, this is a lie. Like, this is, so that's where I was. Like,
anytime you're on acid and you're at a bar, you've already fucked up.
You're already wrong.
You've already fucked up.
You're already
up.
Wrong.
Like, you're like, do you think that I can have two more of those shots? Like, what are you doing? Why are you at a fucking bar?
But I think maybe if I'd waited. But no, listen, the one thing I did from psychedelics, I remember taking shrooms. And I remember being like, oh, everything that is like, everything is learned. That was just like the big general thing that everyone takes out of it. Like, oh, everything that I've ever been told isn't set in stone. It's learned. It's acquired. It could be wrong. And the only things that are real, we were all sitting on a beach, me and a bunch of my friends. I'm like, the water, the sand, all this shit is real. Those are the only things that are actually real. And all the information I've ever been told is just complete, you know, knowledge that somebody else has given to me. None of it was acquired on my own type of thing.
I had an interesting thought that just crossed my mind. Yeah. When you're talking there about something serious that actually has like some weight to it.
Yeah.
But you're a comedian. So yeah. I'm like, yo, is he like joking?
No, that's true.
It sounded true, but yeah. I guess the question is, how often are you talking about serious breakthroughs you've had personally?
Occasionally.
And then
but nobody want, like, that's not what I'm good at. Yeah. But
friends, like in your real life, like how often are you being funny?
I'm being funny, I think, a lot, even with friends. Like, even though I'm serious a lot with friends, I'm still probably being funny with friends. But you can't be funny all the time. Like, you know, if somebody calls me and is like, oh, you know, my wife has cancer, I'm not like, the thing about cancer, you know? I mean, I'm a person, but later on, am I going to try to make it funny? Probably, because I can do that. And like, we're going to laugh at horrible stuff. I think that's part of what I bring to some of my friends is like, I'll be able to make you guys laugh about things that suck.
What's your ratio of funny to genuine and like serious?
I would say 70-30 funny 70, and 30
what,
serious.
What do you think ours is?
The opposite.
Maybe.
You think so?
Wait, sorry. Did you say 70 in comedy?
70 trying to be funny and being funny, yeah, and then 30 serious.
I'd say we're probably close because we have so much business shit that needs to get done too. And so like, I mean, we're always laughing. But the other thing too is like, I think our comedy and humor is similar to yours in that it's a fine line.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like something like you are really, really good at doing what he was just talking about, I think, which is like flipping the script at the last second. Yeah. Like you'll be talking about something and I'm not ready for it. And by the way, that's my favorite kind of comedy.
Yeah, and then it's funny. Yeah.
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 And well, you're great.
And also
at
it's
it.
Like doing a podcast and being a podcaster, I think it's important. You can't just be funny for an hour.
Yeah.
So you have to be like interesting, funny, interesting. Absolutely. Oh, here's a story. This is kind of funny. Or here's a serious thing that has a funny part of it that you can be funny.
Or like a setup. Like you talk
absolutely
about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
I love having you guys on because it's such good.
I appreciate it, dude. I love being on here. I wish I had a chain to trade.
Yeah, are you gonna
get in touch with Aaron Carter and be like, dude, what the fuck?
So we thought it was, we honestly thought it was gonna be fake. And I mean, I don't know how to say this. We were gonna jump Aaron Carter.
Yeah, listen, you know? I agree.
Till we find out it was real, now we're instead of jumping him, we're gonna make a cake and deliver it to him.
But I still lost $10,000, mind you. So like,
not great.
What do I do? Like, I'm not gonna wear this anywhere, bro. Do I look like a dude who wears this?
No, I don't know who wears that.
Aaron Carter.
Yeah, I guess so.
I got 50 carats on my neck.
What is Aaron Carter's deal? Like, what is he up to?
He's just killing it, dog. He don't manifest nothing. He's just.
God bless. He's suffering from some severe mental.
Well, you're assuming. Yeah.
Dude, when you're a child.
No. Yeah. No, he's suffering from some severe.
When you're a
mental.
Child and you get really big as a kid like that, it takes a toll, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But remember back in the day when it was like he suffered from the old days of child acting where it was just easy stuff like cocaine and shit like that.
Now it's creative people are crazy. Like the other night at the Comedy Store, Shia LaBeouf grabbed me and he was like, he was like, that was a great set. You're a genius. It was like, oh, thank you. But like you looked in Shia LaBeouf's eyes and I'm like, oh, he's a brilliant guy, but there's something there. Like, there's something there.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
You're like, look in his eyes. You're like, wow, there's something. There's something going on.
Yeah, he's one step away from who knows.
And I think he's in who knows. I think he took the step into who knows. And he's been living in who knows for
like,
a few years.
When you figured out that, like, only the beach and water were the only real things?
Yeah.
Like, he went one step further, and he doesn't even believe that those are real.
Yeah, he's left the like beach is fake.
Like this, he's like, way fake. He's gone, dude. Is, great actor,
is, very
is,
talented. Cool
is Jim Carrey on that wave?
Probably. He's a brilliant guy, right? Jim Carrey was a brilliant. He's still also a brilliant guy.
He's also been
enough
through
with
some
the paintings, though. It's just painting people. He's doing drawings. Come on, nobody wants.
He's
to.
Been through some shit.
Dude. Who is it for, Jim?
Yeah. He tells you it's for himself, man.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is, dude.
In the universe.
Good. Keep just put it on the fridge.
All right, that's it.
All right, guys.
That's it. We're going to wrap
back.
It up.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
please.
Thank you,
no,
Tim.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
thank you.
Buddy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right.
The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.